Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, we welcome you this morning. We are in a season where I'm kind of hitting some things that some folks think are controversial. But really what I'm doing is I am confronting what I believe are issues in our lives. Something that the Word of God does when it promises us freedom, it has to confront the things that stand in the way of freedom and liberty. One of the things that I'm kind of stirred up about in my life is the misconception of who our Heavenly Father is. And I spent a lot of my life thinking He was the person of God that carried the big stick and didn't want to use it, but He would use it because somebody had to. Well, I find out that the Heavenly Father is the one waiting, rather, with tender mercies, looking at us saying, I want to do something good for you. We get beat up by the devil. The Heavenly Father doesn't come after us with a big stick. He comes after us with tender mercies. And the Scripture says He can't wait for the opportunity to be that person of God in our lives, to extend to us what we have need of. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of mercy, I need mercy because I'm in trouble. All right, I need mercy because I've messed something up. I need mercy because I've opened my big mouth, or I've put my foot in the wrong place, or my nose where it didn't belong, or I might need mercy because I've been ignorant of something I should have known that other people knew and I didn't know. There are a lot of reasons we need mercy. I would think of it this way. God is the God who He is toward us because He knows we're going to need Him to be mercy. He sent Jesus as the person of that mercy. So today, as we talk about mercy, we're going to talk about our need for mercy in a way that hopefully will bring enlightenment to you and encourage you. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons in my time about sin, and when you say the word sin, everybody starts to sort of shrink in. Hey, it's a part of life. It's a part of Christian life, and we need to not deny that it's a part of life. We are working here to learn of God's ways, and a wonderful, scary thing happens as we learn of His ways. I promise you this will happen if you stay in church. You will hear the Word of God, full strength. We're looking for what does it say really? Not do what people think about what it says. I mean, I'm not interested in you knowing my thoughts. I don't want to answer to God for telling you what I think. I want to answer to God for telling you what He says, all right? And then you get to think about it whatever you want. But I would encourage you to open up your heart or open up your mind to learn to think the way God does. When you hear the word like that, something's going to happen. You're going to discover something about you that isn't the way God wants it to be. Or you're not in a good church. It's going to happen to you. Now, I'll say it this way. Hopefully not every Sunday. Hopefully not so routine you think, oh, here we go again. But sometimes I'll be preaching along and I'll see that look. Oh, that happened at my house. Welcome to true life in Christ Jesus. And if you're ever going to listen to what the enemy's trying to do, he'll make things really happen on the weekend when you're home intensive, to make you feel like, well, I better fix it before I go back to church. No, you come to church and let God fix it. See, that's who we serve. He's not into us trying to pretend that we will do everything right. We are learning. And it isn't even our power that gives us the ability to do it right. It's His power working in us. So what we have to realize is we need Him. For people that are not in a Bible preaching church, they don't understand how we need Him. We can kind of be trained into thinking somehow He needs us in church. He doesn't need a thing. He wants us because He loves us. But He loves us kind of because we're desperate for Him when you get down to it. Now, I want to change your thinking in this series about who our Heavenly Father is, and it'll change your heart toward the Lord. When we understand who our Heavenly Father is, we can receive from Him. We know how to understand what His thoughts are toward us continually. Even when we're in a mess, even when we're dealing with sin, He doesn't change His mind toward us. Our mind might change. We might feel like we can't talk to Him. We might feel like, I better sit further back today, or I better not go today. I don't want to take my chances. In the old days when we started the church, sometimes people would come in fresh. I mean, they didn't know what a full gospel church was. And they'd visit a time or two, and then I'd go see them. And, Pastor, I just feel like when I come in there, lightning's going to strike me, because every time you say something, I think, guilty. I said, welcome to real Christianity. We're there because we know, guilty, but Jesus is the innocent one. And He says, He has put Himself out there for us. He took our guilt so that we can be perceived by the Heavenly Father as innocent. Now, when we get something in the way between us and God, we're not feeling the innocence. We're supposed to feel something else: sadness, loss, conviction. Church, if it's done right, is an emotional place. Sometimes it will make you feel like more of a mess during the service than when you came. But if you get that way and you respond, the mess will be fixed before you leave. See, there's an honesty in serving the Lord that is shut out of a lot of works today. A lot of churches today kind of shut out those honest moments. And honestly, we should live for them. Say, Jesus, we're here because we know we need You. We should think of coming to church as losing all pride and walking in there saying, this is my greatest moment of honesty this week between Jesus and me. Why? He comes for that. Did you know that's why He comes? He enjoys when we worship Him. You know why? It says, Jesus, I'm giving You authority over my life. Jesus, I'm giving You permission to touch my heart today. Jesus, I'm asking You, don't destroy me. He won't, you know. But touch me, heal me, move in me. Well, that's who He is. And there's not any one person, not one, according to the Scripture, perfect enough. Jesus is our perfect enough. Now, I'll explain a little bit, beginning in Psalm 145. Verses 8 and 9, which we're going to look at periodically in this series, because we're in a series of thoughts, so we can understand who our Heavenly Father is as much as we humanly can. He's beyond our ability to grasp completely, but we're going to do our best shot at to grab a hold of Him. Now, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. I'm glad that word all is there. And His tender mercies are over all His works. He did not leave anybody out. He did not leave anybody out in a bad situation. He did not leave anybody out who is dealing with sin in their life. He included all. Now, we're talking about the tender mercies of God, and we touched on some things a few weeks ago that I could feel the air getting sucked out of the room when I talked about some current subjects that are real. The fact that the air got sucked out of the room told me I'm on the right track. We need to talk about some stuff. Why? The world is full of all kinds of stuff, and if you're going to live in it, you're going to deal with it. And you might as well have the power of God to deal with it than have to be in denial of it existing in your house or in your life or in your school or wherever it is. There are problems out there. We don't live oblivious to it. We don't live in denial of it. We're here to deal with the business we call life. All right, now, that word gracious means God is disposed, He has a predisposition to show favors in your direction. Now, He said all. You might be today thinking, I need to get a hold of that. I don't feel like He is predisposed to give me anything. Well, then you would call God a liar. He's saying, no matter what the situation you are in right now and whatever secrets you might be holding from other people or holding from the Lord, He already knows all about it, and He's already made up His mind. He's there to give you mercy as soon as you ask Him. I like that. I like that. I like that in friends. Why? If Jesus is working that in us, we're going to be that to others too. Now, He says He's full of compassion. That means He's yearning to be merciful. Now, See, all these teenagers in the front row, have you ever yearned for anything that mom and dad could get for you? How'd you act? Like, did you start tormenting them? I know you guys did. Well, I'd catch it. Sometimes pastor catches stuff going on in the family dynamic, and I learn about our teenagers that they don't mind going to the source of supply. And they learn how to do it. Why? There is a yearning for something there. Now, our earthly fathers are not obligated to meet all the yearnings. And our heavenly Father is not obligated to meet all the yearnings. That means he's not as interested in giving you stuff as he is giving you mercy. He lets us go after what stuff we want to go after. He would rather us go after his mercy. Why? He wants us to feel good about life. He wants to be happy about our relationship with him. He wants us to be happy in the family dynamic. Today, as I'm ministering, you might think of something that's gone on in the family. You think, man, I got to quit doing that. Scripture says that if we don't deal with sin, it passes on in the family. Now, that was an Old Testament thing. Thank God it was an Old Testament thing. But you know, it still happens today if we don't have Jesus come in and break that line, break that off the line. So if you've ever dealt with anything in your life, you think, well, Grandpa did this. I heard about it when I got older, and boy, I'm struggling with this. Jesus will break that off of you. Now, the word tender mercies is a picture of a womb of compassion, the place where human life, where the babies are going to develop and grow and be birthed. It's a picture of when we come into God's tender mercy, he's going to rebirth who we are into somebody clean, somebody better, a sense of a new beginning. Did you know that when you're born again, we use the phrase born again because it means we have come into the womb of God's tender mercies, and he says he accepts us and he loves us and we're born fresh and new. See, many times today, Christians don't even really know where that phrase came from. It is in the New Testament, but it means that we are born into Heavenly Father's tender mercies, or how we would think of it as be adopted in the family, but it's closer than that. He takes us back to himself, and he says, I have you now, you're mine. And he gives us our life back after saving us from the old way and the old life. It's a picture of salvation that we can't quite comprehend as a human being. Before that happens, Scripture says that we're dead spiritually. But he gives us new life. Now, that's what mercy is about. But the more we learn of God's Word, the more we need his mercy. I used to wrestle with this as a young pastor. I think, dear Lord Jesus, I've got to get up and preach on things that I'm not getting right yet. And I was afraid to tell anybody. Why, when we're young, we're supposed to, aren't we? When we're ministers, supposed to have it all perfect? I'm asking the young folks here sitting close to the front. Yeah, it's supposed to be perfect? No, say no, Pastor. It's not supposed to be perfect. Why then do we pretend? Because we've been taught somehow that sin is shame? Malarkey. Sin is the fallen nature of a human being that we wrestle with. And we wrestle with it here. And what does he want to do? He wants to renew our mind to what's really going on. Because when we wrestle with it in denial, condemnation sets up and it takes us away from God. We're not close to him anymore. But if we run to him when we're dealing with it, his mercy leaps out on us to help us deal, to help us find victory. Now, this is Proverbs 26:2. It says, as a bird does by wandering and a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. People get in trouble. I think about, he used the bird and barn swallows here. Well, we used to have barn swallows. I'll say barn swallows, probably a different kind. I don't know they have barn swallows in Israel. We had barn swallows, and we learned they nested kind of low. We learned if you had the butterfly net, you'd catch them. Because they didn't fly very high or very fast, either one. We were just fascinated to look at them. Now, what he is saying here is that when we come into trouble in our life, the enemy is involved. He says, the curse causeless shall not come. Now, sin carries with it a curse if we leave it alone and don't deal with it. Now, I'm not suggesting that people don't get away with some things they think they're getting away with. But the nature of sin is to become a trap and a net to be caught in. Now, what he's saying here is when we get in trouble, we need to recognize there was a cause. So today, if I pray and you believe God to receive forgiveness of sin, whatever it is, and I hope that everybody does that. I hope that, you know, this would have made a good Sunday to do communion, but I said, you know, we need to deal with sin and we'll deal with communion. We'll have communion when we're celebrating a little bit more. Well, I want everybody to understand this is what happens when we come to the table of the Lord. We want to make sure our heart is right like this, that we receive. And then when we go through the actions of receiving the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, we're bringing blessing back into our life. We're saying, I'm back in covenant with the King. Now, the curse causeless, that word curse is a separation from God. And instead of loving God, we begin to feel afraid of God. Instead of running to God, we want to hide from God. And instead of looking for Him, we are doing everything to avoid Him. And it's a picture of what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. The first thing they did is hide from God. And He had to come into the garden saying, where are you guys? Why are you hiding from me? What is the deal with this? Now, He knew full well what the deal was, because whenever we hide from God, there's sin involved. You can count on it. There's people that would deny that. Say, I'm just not in church, Pastor Doug, but I'm okay. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Why? The Scripture says so. The Scripture says we will hide from God and we will hide from His people if we get in sin and we don't deal with it. So why don't we deal with it? Again, there's a shame issue attached to it, and there ought to be the glory of God attached to it because we're going to deal with it. Now, Luke 19:10 tells us that Jesus came. He said this Himself. I have come to seek and save that which was lost. When we think about the lost, we need to understand that sometimes when we've not dealt with something, we might be temporarily lost. What does that mean? It means if Jesus came into our heart as Savior, we're still saved, but we're hiding in the garden somewhere saying, God, don't look for me right now. I got nakedness. I got problems. You look at me, I won't look glorious like I used to look. And you know what He says? Come out from beneath the bushes and let's fix this thing. There's this moment we are afraid of with God that He took the sting of death out of. He took the punishment out of. When we come out from undercover and we're honest with God, His mercy and His grace wrap around us. And what happens is He embraces us and He says, when you break this embrace, kiddo, you're going to come out just like new and you're going to be good again. So He tells us, come out from among those things. Be separate from those things of the world. Why? He wants us to walk in His glory and His goodness. He wants you to feel good about your walk with Him almost all the time. He wants it all the time. But I say almost because we're not perfect in getting things done fast enough. Sometimes we say things like, God, if you really deal with my heart, I'm here to tell you, He's dealing today. Why? He wants you to leave empowered. He wants you to leave excited, thinking about what is the good thing that He's going to put over on you next. Instead of wondering if you've done enough right, you've worshiped Him enough, you've given enough, you've sacrificed enough or whatever. We get too much in works. And no salvation comes by works. We might feel good because we're doing things for the Lord. But our salvation comes always because we don't deserve it, but we believe on Jesus. And we take hold of Him. Now, Satan tries to keep us from receiving God's mercy. If anything I'm fired up over today, it's the whole idea that God has the big stick. Get rid of that image of God. That's a picture of the devil. I'm all the time dealing with people who think the good stuff is of the devil and the bad stuff God does. We couldn't get it more backward, but that's the trick of the devil, to deceive people into thinking God does all the bad stuff. You'd be surprised how that's become a doctrine outside the body of Christ. Well, I'm out to undo that. All right. Now, Satan tries to keep us from receiving God's mercy. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a church. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul, if you don't know who the Apostle Paul is, he was like God's big spokesman in the New Testament church. He had a lot to say. He wrote a lot of letters. He would be somebody that when you get to heaven, you will find out he penned a lot of the words that you learned about God. But he's writing this letter to a church, and it's a church with challenges like any other church. It's a church like our church. If you didn't know it, we have challenges too. Why? People are here. I'm here. Okay? If you don't have any other challenge, you got me. All right? I will be your challenge if you need one. Just ask me. Now, this is beginning in verse 1. He says, we have received mercy. He's writing this to a church. He's writing this under an anointing. He's writing this because God's revealing to him what this church needs to hear. And it's a letter about sin. Oh my gosh. At church? That's where it's supposed to be. How silly we are to think that somehow that's a taboo subject that you talk about behind closed doors, or you study it alone in your bed when nobody's looking. Now, we have received mercy. He put it in past tense because he's about to drop a bomb on them. We've received mercy. I want you to receive the mercy before the bomb is dropped, just like the Apostle Paul. That's how God always does things. He says, I've given you this good thing. Now let's talk business. But he gives us first. He gave Jesus first. Now, if you think that sin doesn't have a business to it, it does. Jesus says, I've given you mercy, but let's talk business. Let's talk getting free. Let's talk about you taking full advantage of what Jesus did on the cross so that you can live free of shame and free of entrapment and free of the problems and conflicts and challenges that come in our life because we mess things up. You mean I can be free of that? Either that's true or the gospel is not true, word of God. See, now, we have received mercy, therefore we faint not. Well, why would we be fainting? Because we still got problems. Nobody has a problem, Josh. Now, I told you I was confronting some things. The best way to respond to confrontation in church is say, amen! Then everybody says, wow, if he's with it, I'm going to get with it. Now, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Hidden things of dishonesty. Why does he call them hidden things of dishonesty? It's a little secret you might have kept from God and other people. Did you know when we keep a secret from God, we bring some part of our life out from under his mercy? His mercy requires that we come out from the bushes as naked as we might be and say, God, I messed this up. He says, let me cover you. Let me cover you. It's kind of like stepping out of the shower and having this giant, looking at the ladies because they're more likely to do this, this giant terry cloth robe that you just wrap in. Some of you are nodding yes because you like that. Guys, they don't necessarily do that. But ladies are going to understand that. Now, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What he's saying here is, as the body of Christ, as true Christians, as true believers, we have to be honest with our Lord. We have to be honest with him and keep nothing back from him. We have to occasionally wake up to what we've been hearing taught, what word we've been hearing to be preached. Sometimes it just flat out challenges us and we go, I never knew that. I never thought about it. Is that even right? Because it suddenly glares in our face and we think, why do I suddenly feel like I need to change this in my life? It's because the light penetrated a little bit deeper than it used to. What's that a sign of? The glory of God's increasing in our life. Yet we're taught to think, something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you that isn't common to man. The need for mercy. The need for God's mercy. That's what it is. So when we're honest with ourselves, we can be honest with Jesus. I call it a moment of truth. Did you know that the scripture is called the truth and it says that the truth will set us free? Well, the process of setting us free is like really revealing. Like, God, this is very uncomfortable. He loves that. He loves us to respond in the right way and run into that giant towel that he has all warmed up and ready to receive us to cover what's wrong and have us come out fresh and new. That's who he is. That is not a one-time experience when you receive Jesus into your heart. That's the first time you're going to experience it. But you keep experiencing that because His love covers a multitude. I'm glad that word multitude is there when He talks about sin. Why? That's what we need. Now, He goes on to express why a little later. I'll share with you why. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in witchcraft. What? Yeah, that's how God sees it. We're sneaking around, saying one thing and doing another, and He doesn't like that. Why? It's dishonesty. What does it do? It allows the enemy to make a playground out of our life. That's what it does. The devil can't have anything over on you if you're honest with Father God and stay in His mercy. But the minute we get in denial, he calls it craftiness. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That would be, I don't think it really means what pastor's saying, so I ain't doing it. All right, go read it for your own self and see. I tell you that pretty often. You say, you wonder about something I preach? Go look it up. All right, you want expert help? I'll send you to somebody or I'll sit down with you and say, let's look at the true, what the Greek word there? Now, you know, or the Hebrew word anyway. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Why? In today's day and age, the word of God can be crafted to preach or teach anything that people want to hear and like to hear. And the scripture says in the latter days, there will be preachers like that, that appeal to itching ears. It means, what do people want to hear that makes them feel good all the time? When I read the gospel, I don't get to feel good all the time. When I feel honest before the Lord, the next thing is I'm going to get to feel good again. But there is a feeling bad when sometimes the word is preached and I think, oh, that is really for me. I didn't expect that this morning. God loves to back you into a corner with that giant blanket. See, you get one choice, bud. Jump into my blanket or stay miserable naked in your corner. What will it be? I mean, that's honestly a picture of the mercy of God. That's what His word does. It's meant to confront us and say, here's the giant blanket. Don't you see it's big enough to cover all of this mess? Just kind of lay into it here. Jump into it. He's not going to take it and smother us with it. We have to take a step. Why? That's when He embraces us. We approach Him and He gets His arms around us and, oh, it feels so good. Now, but by manifestation of the truth. Did you know this is how it works for you? This is how the Word of God comes into your life. You embrace His mercy and say, that's for me. We don't have to always get in trouble. I want to tell you, you can sit in church and hear the truth and say, that is for me. I'm thankful I'm not in big trouble on that, but I'm going to get in that blanket now so I don't get in trouble. Why? It'll happen tomorrow. You'll hear it preached and think, pastor just preached on this. Why? What's wrong with me? The devil's checking to see if you heard it or not. Why? See, if you'll take the blanket and say, put me in the blanket quick. That's the mercy of God. See, he can't wait to do that. That's His predisposition. He does not change His mind. There's not even a shadow of turning in Him. He will not do otherwise. He has set His heart on you. It's fixed on you to always be that way toward you, no matter how you got in trouble or what kind of trouble you got in, or if you even knew you were in trouble or not. Becoming open and truthful in the sight of God. Wow. Now, when we pray today, I'm going to tell you this in advance. You don't have to come tell pastor what's going on in your life. You need to tell Jesus. You need to confess it to Him. That should be a relief. I mean, I'm not going to ask your business. God's mercy reaches into the hidden things. That's why you can be in church and all of a sudden he touches you in a deep place. And you have a choice to make. Do I keep this secret with God or do I give it to Him right now in church? Some of the amens that ought to be heard in church ought to be when we're giving something back to Him saying, that was for me. I'm going to let this go. I didn't understand I needed that. Jesus always provides a pathway out of trouble. He has a way for us to come out. This is Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Another all. I love that it's all. He's not going to come to you, Ben, and say, but dude, you messed up so big, I'm going to make you live this for the next 3 years. You're going to be miserable, blah, blah, blah. That's the devil getting in his mind. So what does he have to do? Say, no, I know better than that. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Now, mercy, we embrace really quickly because we're getting a hold of that. But there's another word there, truth. It means even when we mess something up, he gets us right out of trouble quickly, but then he wants us to learn something. He wants to embrace a bit of truth so we don't go back there again. Repentance means we turn away from something. Well, we're not going to turn away from something unless we admit to ourselves the truth and say, God has a truth for me that I can live free of this. Then we can say, I choose to turn away from this because God's word says I don't have to live like that. So his mercy is quick and complete. He has a path that has mercy in it, the giant towel. Then he says, I'm going to teach you how to not get in trouble this way again. And you might go a little while before you hear that word. Just imagine if you were a baby Christian, hadn't heard much word preached, you might sit in church a year before you hear what you need to be taught to not go back there again in your life. So what does the church have to be then? A house full of God's mercy. It says we're going to let people learn from God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in them, to draw them into his presence. Why? When we get good at receiving God's mercy, we will become, our ears will be tuned in to hear his truth, and we'll begin to grow. But I want you to understand how Christians grow. We receive of his mercy again and again and again and again. Then we start to desire how to stay out of trouble. We start to recognize, oh, wait a minute, I've done this 25 times before Jesus. I think it's time for a change. Did you know that that's how we move into truth? You might be in church and hear the word 25 times with these ears, but it never drops down in here till you have that moment of truth. Says, I'm hearing that for me this time. I am tired of this. Now, many times we don't get tired of sin till it's caused a problem in our life. We do better to get tired of it because Jesus is tired of it. We do better to just get our mind like his mind is. Now, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such or such people as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Keep his covenant. That means I'm going to study what the scriptures say and I'm going to look at what the testimony of the Lord is. What did Jesus do for me? And here's what can happen that's a marvelous thing. Somebody that has gone through what you're in the mess right now, but they've come out the other side of the mess, when they share how their freedom and deliverance came, you can say, that's for me. Did you know he gives us a shortcut? The Holy Spirit gives us a shortcut. That's one reason we do church, is we can hear the word. If he doesn't get us that way, he'll find somebody with a testimony. And if you're not careful, even if you are, they'll tell you their story. Mark's one of those guys. He'll tell you what God's doing in his life if you give him half a chance. And I'm telling you, it'll bless you to hear it. Why, everybody has something like that. Polishers up. Get it out of the closet. Get it ready to share. What has God set you free of? What has he done for you? What did you used to take? You don't have to run around telling everybody all of your dark secrets. But it's good to tell people he has made you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That means I'm still free. Now, I'm not real interested in the guy. I'm happy for him. He says that he was set free yesterday. I like to hear the one that was set free 10 years ago and he's still free. Why? That's a little better. Ever been set free and then set back? Set back usually follows set free, if you didn't know. And you know what Jesus does? He's got another robe warm and ready. He's ready for you again. Why? He knows you got to get used to the idea of being free so you can stay free. He's got to convince you you can be. A lot of times people aren't convinced. They get free and they go, I'm going to go there again. Temptation's too great. Jesus says, I'm just going to keep wrapping these mercy towels around you till you start to understand this is how it is for you. This is how. I love that. He never gives up on me, on you. Now, so we have to follow his testimony path. Did you know that scripture, the written word, is a testimony? Somebody else is telling you what worked for them. and we read it and understand God was the author of it, but people penned it because it's God living through people. It's a picture of how new life works. But there's always a word path out of the problem. Here's where people make a mistake. It's not only about running and getting in the towel. It starts out that way. But pretty soon we have to look for, what is the testimony? What did God say about this? That's why I don't mind saying what God says about gender confusion in the Bible. What's in the Bible? So I look at that and say, he says it's such and such a way. That means when the towel wraps around anybody, if they're willing to receive it, it can be put the way it's supposed to be. And we choose to believe that or not. We start tossing that truth out. We might as well throw the Bible away. Because it's a book meant to tell us how to live. And we don't want to throw the Bible away. So what do? We honor it as the final authority in our life and say, I'm going to find out what is the testimony of God concerning this, instead of asking people, well, how do you feel and what type are you? Now, what do you call that and what does that mean? Sucking a lot of air out of the room again. Now, once the power of sin is broken, people say things like, well, God made me this way. Understand, when we come into the towel of God's mercy and grace and we receive salvation, we're born again to be like Father God. We're born again to be the way he designed us to be, and all things are turning around. All things are possible to the one that believes it, but if somebody doesn't believe it, they can miss out in that part of their life and never receive what God had in the towel for them to begin with. And they walk away unchanged and they think to themselves, this is just how it is for me. No, we need to look at what does the scripture say and how it is for us. Now, that's a sensitive subject today. But I want to tell you that that's what the Bible says. And I would encourage you as believers to believe what the Bible says. And not let the curse, not let the media, not let the world, not let other people put into your kids' heads what they think. What they think is a pile of trash unless it lines up with what God says. And people are entitled to their opinions, but people's opinions send people to hell all the time. God's word sets us free of all that. Now, I told you it'd be a little confrontation. Jesus put that in me. I didn't used to be like that. Jesus put God's mercy in motion for us. Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is again our friend, the Apostle Paul, talking about sin, a struggle in his own life. The preacher, I mean the big preacher, talking about it. No, don't look for secrets. Secret things. Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Then he talks about what that delight causes. You really go after God to love him and worship him and bless him? You got a fight coming with your own self. There's the spiritual you, all right, that says, I want to live for Jesus and I want to do everything the Bible says. Then there's your head, your mind, with whatever brainwashing you've put in there over the years that will fight you. Then you got this body that just wants to do its own thing. And it's governed by hormones and all kind of other issues. And how is this all supposed to come together? I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul is confessing something here. He's saying, I put my delight in what God says I can be. Then he talks about how hopeless it looks sometimes. But I see another law in my members, talking about his body and his mind, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He said, which is in my members. Sin didn't go away because he walked with Jesus every day. Sin didn't go away when he got born again. Sin didn't go away when he became a great preacher. Sin didn't go away when he wrote much of the New Testament. He had to deal with it. He had to war against it. He had to say, I'm choosing to put my delight in God. And as I delight in God, this war is going to result in my own victory. But he was letting everybody know. He's letting the whole church know. Everybody deals with the same stuff. And it's going to be a battle to win. It's an ongoing battle to win. Now, He says he's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now that's the old law. Did you know the Old Testament was written, the Ten Commandments were written for us to understand what sin is? It didn't change. I hear some preachers saying, well, we're not under the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments show us what sin is. And then we recognize, now, wait a minute, I don't know anybody that's able to keep all these Ten Commandments. Hello, that's why we need Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm giving you a new and better covenant, but you're going to need Jesus to fulfill that covenant because he's the righteous one and we never are. But we are supposed to work to be like him. What does that mean? Let his mercy have a perfect work in us. Let his power work in us. There's another source of power in your life once the mercy of God hits you. Once you get in the towel, God's done one better for you. In the Old Testament, they would cry out to seek repentance. Look at the life of David. He'd sleep with another woman, and then he'd say, I had to look for repentance for a long, long season and hope that I really found it. Well, he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing. He knew better. So why did he have to search a long time? He did not have his Savior Jesus on the scene. And he recognized the hand of God just lifted off of my life and I'm going to get in trouble. Why? He was going to lead the battle and probably get killed on the battlefield. He's thinking, I best not take any chances. I believe I'll not go to battle until I get right with God. Well, he at least was an intelligent king. But he had another thing going on in his body and his mind. And he didn't have Jesus in the way that we do. He had to cry out for the hand of God to come on him. You have Jesus living in you. And as soon as you give him permission, he puts both hands on you. And he begins to do a perfect work. Now, he says, bringing into captivity the law of sin. In other words, it's a law. Did you know it's a law over you while you're alive in the earth? But it's not the highest law. I'm glad it's not the highest law. I'm glad that Jesus gave me one better. Now, you don't just automatically fall into the one better. We fall into it by calling on his name. When we call on the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit rises up on the inside of us to assist us. And the victory comes from the place we thought it would never be. When we have a hidden thing, we think, oh, well, that's between me and God, and I'm keeping that on the inside. Until the Holy Spirit gets in there, then he says, nobody, we're pushing this out of here. Why? You're the temple of the Lord. He wants to live not just in your body, but in your mind too. He wants all of your being, and he's a jealous God. And he's saying, there's somebody in here who doesn't belong in here, and let's push him out. And you know what you got to do? You got to say, okay, I'm good with that. Let's clean house supernaturally. Ladies ever wish that you could do like the lady on Bewitched? Wrinkle your nose and the whole house got clean? You can cry out to Jesus and this whole house gets clean. Why? He's a clean sweep. You don't want to leave anything behind. All we have to do is give him permission. Now, Romans 8, 1 and 2, because we got to end in a note of victory. We can't end in the middle of a mess. That's right? Right? That's right. All right. There is therefore now no condemnation. He said now. Why? Because we're not afraid to deal with that other law. There's a law that you can break with the Spirit of God. You can break the law of sin, break its power over you. It's still a law. You can go back there if you want to. It's kind of like if I want to drive too fast, I can choose to break the law and drive too fast, but it's still the law. And I might drive too fast one time too many and get in trouble. I'm looking at the younger men in the crowd. Boy, that usually pertains more to, I don't know, something about younger men and the throttle. That's fun. No. But eventually, we can get caught and we say things that aren't true, like, officer, I didn't mean it. Officer, I've been having a headache today. Officer, I had a hard day at school or at work. Or I'm already in trouble with mom and dad. Can you have mercy? And he's like, dude, you're going 70 and a 40. There's no mercy for that. So you see, human mercy is tied to laws. God's mercy breaks the old law. God's mercy in that situation would say, I know you and you belong to me. Slow down. Fly straight. You can go. There's always going to be an instruction that comes. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get in him? We're honest before him. We're honest before him. Once you're saved, you have to stay honest with the Lord. Once you're saved, he's doing a good work in you. And it'll be completed when he's done with you. And you know what? He doesn't give up on us until we're in heaven. And I think maybe when we get there, maybe there's still some work to be done on some of us. Now, the condemnation is gone to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. It means I have honest moments with the Lord all the time. And I take steps into his mercy to receive it. And then I look in his word, or I find somebody that knows something. I find somebody with a testimony. Say, I'm learning this. Can you help me? That doesn't happen as much in church as it ought to. Why? It's a shortcut. It's easier. It helps to hear somebody else got free. Now, four, the law. Here's the second law that's better. That's greater, the one that's automatic with you if you stay with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It means if you got the ticket, submit it quickly. It means if you see the red light coming on, it's not too soon to repent. If you're having a thought that's going to lead you to trouble, it's not too soon to roll that over on the Lord. See, so many times we get in trouble because of our thought life. A man's thoughts will take him where he's thinking, generally. Woman's too, by the way. Now, Jesus' mercy breaks the power of sin, and his word will give us a pathway out of that danger again, out of that snare. Now, this is 1 John 1:9, and I haven't used this verse in church for a while. I said, Lord, I need to talk about this more. He said, yeah, I want you to. If we confess our sins. To who? The one that can forgive them. We confess our sins to Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That means he's just waiting. He's just waiting so that he can throw that blanket on you or that towel on you, however big of a thing you need to wrap around you. He's got it. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's that mean? It means a moment with Jesus being truthful will cause you to leave a different person. What kind of person? New man, a clean man, perfect, perfected in his presence, cleaned up, and it's good for us. That's supposed to happen at church. Or we're going to sing a song. The worship team's going to lead us through a song that they brought special for today for this series. I'm excited about it, and some of you might recognize it because it's out there now. They sent it to me online on a link. I felt really, really techy being able to just click on the link. Out came this song and about 10 more right after it. I didn't know it was going to be a bunch on it. But as they sing it, I want you to listen to it, and in a minute I'm going to open the altar. I'm going to tell you two things today. If you've never accepted Jesus as Savior, we want this to be your day. And I want to pray with you personally. I want to know that that happened for you. That'll require you to come down, and that's a moment of celebration. If today, I am going to pray over the whole congregation, and when I do, if you feel satisfied that you received what you needed from the Lord for this message, you'll be free to go. But if you want somebody to pray for you, I'm going to say this about an anointing or God's favor on my life. If you're struggling with something and you can't seem to get free yourself, let me pray with you. Why? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is active in your pastor. I've probably got a testimony to tell you. I've probably got some hope to give you. Probably got something that'll give you a shortcut, give you a little kickstart, give you what? That's how he manifests his mercy. He touches. That's why when we pray, I want you to understand this, when we pray up in the altar, most of the time, I lay my hands on folks. Once in a while, the Lord will tell me just to tell them what he's saying. But other times, I lay my hand. Well, that's a moment. Just think of Jesus touching you with his hand of compassion, his hand of mercy, his promise of what he said he would do instantly and completely for you. And then when you turn away and walk away from the altar, all things are new again. And nobody can hold anything over you. The worst thing the devil does to people is he holds things over on them.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.